Starting a new sermon series today. Start you out with a sobering graphic up there. Ever been there? Been a place like that, haven't you? Sobering place. Probably a few things more sobering than a cemetery. Wouldn't you agree? I like to go to cemeteries. You may think that's weird. Well, welcome to reality, because I am a little weird. I think in a good sense, but I'll leave that up for your judgment. I like to go to cemeteries because that very reason, because it is sobering. It is a place in which reality is actually reality. And one of the things I like to do when I go to a cemetery is I like to go and find a grave of a person who died at my age, whatever age I am. I'm 42 right now. Again, you may think that's weird, but for me, it's a reminder of, you know, life is short. I'm not guaranteed another day. I look at that grave and I think, you know, I wonder what he was like. I wonder what she did. I wonder what she believed in or what he lived for. I wonder what their heart was dedicated to. Look at those, one of the strangest, maybe saddest, whatever unusual things about a grave is the dates that are on it. You only get two dates, don't you? I've never seen one without it. Maybe there's an exception. I've never seen it. Basically, only two dates on a gravestone are the day that you're born and the day that you die. The year that you were born and the year that you die, you really don't have much say over those dates, do you? And then in between, you have this rude little dash that represents everything you've ever done. I wasn't responsible for the birth, hopefully not responsible for the death, but I was responsible for the dash, and that's all I get. That's all it is. You know, and somebody's going to walk by my grave maybe someday and say, well, I wonder what he was like. I wonder what he was about. I wonder what he lived for. I wonder what mattered to him. I wonder who he loved, or who wonder if he has any regrets. One rude little dash. There's a whole life that transpired in that dash. Right? How are you doing with your dash? How's it going for you? Have no say over the front end or the back end, but the dash. The dash, you have control. What about your dash? Are you living in that dash? Or are you dashing to live? Are you actually living in that dash? Are you dashing to live? I'm starting this morning a new series we're going to be starting together, which is going to be leading up to about a 30-day series, about a month-long series, which is going to be leading us up to about a month and a half long Bible study together this fall. The series and the Bible study have the title, one and the same. They are 1 month to live, that's the title, 30 days to no regret. 1 month to live, 30 days to no regret. I've had the opportunity while being a pastor for over 16 years to sit at, to sit at the bedside of people who were passing away. And I've also had the opportunity to be sitting by or ministering to those who've gotten some really bad news about how short life's going to be for them, how incredibly short in some cases life's going to be. And every circumstance was different, every person was different, every situation played out a little bit differently, but there was a common thread that ran through almost all of those. Almost with no exception, the person who hears that they only have a limited amount of time to live, they have amazing clarity about how they're going to live those days. Amazing clarity. A person, you can talk to an average person on the street and ask them how they're going to live and what they're going to do, and they may or may not have an answer for you. You ask a person who has a very short time to live, they always have an answer. They always know what they're doing. Amazing clarity, as I said, comes to a person who finds out they only have a short amount of time to live, that their dash, if you will, they're near the end of the dash. And they don't waste their time on precious time on insignificant things. They make the absolute best out of them. Question for you. What would you do? What would change? What would you stop or start? Who would you be differently than who you are right now if you heard you only had 1 month to live? What would change? What decisions would you make? What things, possibly, that you're holding off doing, would you do? Or what things are you currently doing? Would you stop? If you found out you only had 1 month, 1 month to live. In our series together over this next month, I'm going to be challenging you to live your life, whatever you've got left of your dash, that way. As though you had 1 month to live. And the point being this, that if we learn how to live now as if we only had 1 month, then we will truly know how to live, however long the dash lasts. If I currently, instead of waiting to the time I get some horrible prognosis, if I will right now learn how I would live if I only had 1 month to live, then I will know how to live from here on till the dash is done, right? I will know. That's the point of this series. That's going to be the point of our Bible study together in this fall. Our guide through this sobering process is going to be none other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Think about it for a second. Did Jesus know when he had 1 month to live? Absolutely. Absolutely. He knew his days, did he not? I mean, he's the Son of God. He knew them all. And we're going to be learning some very incredible things about him and how he did so many things so resolutely and how he did not waste time and how he occupied and acted and how he lived from day to day, and learning some great things that we can apply to our lives. But first of all, we're going to learn this morning, for the sake of time, only one thing this morning, basically the underlying truth, the foundation of this whole thing that we're going to be presenting to you about 1 month to live, this foundational thing, and it's very simply this, that God wants us to fully live. In fact, the reason why God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth was so that we could. There is no life outside of his Son. There is no living outside of fully understanding all that he is and all that he wants me to be. There is no living outside of me being everything that God wants me to be. Notice what Jesus said here in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, the thief, that's who we've been studying for the past 2 months, the devil, right? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus Christ has come so that we can have a full life. There is no real living outside of him. No full living, that's for sure. No complete living. There is no real life outside of him. He has come that we might have full life. God intends for you to live fully. God intends for you, when you're done with your dash, if you will, to sit back and say, that was everything that it ought to be. God has given us the capacity, listen, through his Son Jesus Christ, that dash can be everything it was intended to be. Everything that you will want, that we could look back with no regrets whatsoever and say, I lived the way God wanted me to. I lived a full life. It was complete. The good news is that experience can start right now. Notice what John says again in another book. He says, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start when you die, guys. It starts right now. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. That's an incredible verse. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. You ever watch the game show called Deal or No Deal? You know what I'm talking about? With Howie Mandel, and they're working up to turning over these cards to determine how much money they're going to get. Remember how it works? This is sort of like John here offering. He's like a Howie Mandel, if you will. Deal or no deal? Life or death? What will it be for you? Your decision. Deal or no deal? You want life? Well, then it's only through God's Son, Jesus Christ. So what will it be? Deal? No deal? It's your decision. Satan comes along. He's like the banker, right, in the game show. He says, you know what, that's a good deal, but here's a better deal. He offers something less. And how much less? You know, we expect Satan to come along and, like I said, the horns and pitchfork and red suit and everything. That's not the way he comes. He comes with just a little bit less than life. What's a little bit less than life? Death. How far do you have to miss heaven for it to be hell? Is there a difference between missing it by an inch or by a mile? There is no difference. And he wants you, but he doesn't want you to know that, you see. You're just missing it by, you're so close, you see. Why sacrifice? Why put yourself through that? Why suffer through the rigors of belonging to God when in fact you can be totally in agreement with this world and experience life from me. I'll give it to you. It's free. It's quick. He offers us something less than a deal. He'll come to us and he says this: the offer is a good one that God makes to you. You know, we expect Satan to come and say, no, you don't want that. That's bad stuff for you. Yeah, he'll say that, but more than likely, more often than not, he'll say this to you: the offer God make is a good one, and you should take it, but just not today. You're not ready. You got stuff happening in your life. You got things to do. You're too busy. You have too much to clean up in your life. This whole Jesus thing, it's a really good thing. It's not bad. You should do it someday. You should. Not today. Not today. You would be embarrassed. Not today. It'll compromise the things that you're in. It may make you stop some things. You don't want to do that. Wait till these things play out, and then Jesus will be a good option for you. It is a good deal, but it's just not for you. Maybe you considered accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, and Satan will say to you, yeah, you really should, but just not today. It's not a good day for you. It's not a good day. Maybe you already know Jesus as your personal Savior. I hope you do. Satan still works in our lives, though, doesn't he? He still messes with us. Maybe you're really considering this whole surrendering everything to the Lord stuff. Really giving your life to Him, really surrendering, really being everything that you know you're supposed to be, that you want to be. Everything you've learned in Sunday school, everything you've been taught, everything you've seen in other people's lives as they've lived for Christ, in every way, really getting involved in church, really getting involved in the work of God. You've considered all this, you want to do it, and Satan comes to you and says, you know what, yeah, you should do that. That's a good thing. That's a good deal. You should do it. But not today. Not today. Not today. You've put it off before. You should keep putting it off because you've got stuff to do. I mean, you're too busy. It's just not a good time for you. It's a busy time in your life right now. Things will settle down someday, and you will. Someday you will. I wonder if there's anybody here who's trapped in what I call the someday syndrome. Trapped. Someday, you say to yourself. Someday I'm going to get right. Someday I'm going to do right. Someday I'm going to act right. Someday I'm going to be what I ought to be. Someday I'm going to surrender. Someday I'm going to humble myself. Someday. You need to know this. Satan's favorite word is that word, someday. One of his favorites. He loves that word. Someday. Oh yes, yes, absolutely you need to do it. It'll be good, it'll be great, but just not today. Someday, do it. Satan's word, one of his favorite words, is someday. God's favorite word, yes, is today. That's his favorite word. God deals in today. Do you know why? Because this is the only day you got. God didn't come talking to you about someday. When God comes talk to you, what is he talking about? He's talking about today, right now. He's not saying, get back to me in a couple of days. He's wanting an answer right now. What are you going to do? What is the decision you're going to make? Deal or no deal, right? What's it going to be for you? Today is God's favorite word. Let me show you an example out of the book of Hebrews. Paul speaking, or actually the writer of Hebrews, speaking about the situation of the people of Israel and how they failed to enter into the promised land, into the rest that God had prepared for them. This is what it says. He says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Notice that word, today. Harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me for 40 years and saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray. They have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And they never did they? Someday for them, right? Oh, we're going to make it. We'll get there. You know, it'll work out. It'll be fine. Because they didn't take a today approach to life. Someday never came. Someday never does. It never does. We get sucked into this whole thing because of this someday syndrome. Someday I'll live for God. Someday I'll spend more time with my kids. Someday when I get more money, I'll really live. Someday when things work out, then I'll really enjoy my life. Someday. When is that day going to be here? When are we going to realize that this is all we got? This, wherever you are, is your life. And if you're not living it, shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on us for saying someday we're going to live. Someday we're going to experience the things God has for us. No. No, it's because of that someday attitude that we're missing out today. We're to blame for it. Constantly, even though this is our life, we're constantly waiting to live. It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. Someday I'll really live. No, this is it. This is it. This is what you've got today. This is all you've got. This is all we're going to ever have. Because you're still breathing, because you're still on the dash, you still have a chance, but life comes at you fast. Don't wait. Remember the credit card commercial where the guy is swinging his toddler son in the swing? You remember that? He swings him and the kid swings out of the view of the camera, but when he swings back in, he's this 180-pound teenager and nails the dad, knocks him on the ground. Remember that credit card commercial? Great commercial. And then at the end of the commercial it says, life comes at you fast. It does. Very fast. And the older you get, the faster it gets, I've found, my 42 years. It just keeps rolling and rolling. You know, the only time that we ever look forward to getting older is when we're young. Think about it. Child below 10 years old always thinks in halves, don't they? How old are you, 5 1/2? 8 1/2? They can't wait, you know. They can't wait. You know, I'm just a little bit older. I don't remember how old I was. I remember desperately wanting all I want for Christmas, my two front teeth. Well, it wasn't Christmas. I don't remember what it was. But I couldn't wait until I got big teeth. I didn't want these children teeth. I wanted big teeth like everybody else. And then when they came in, they didn't look that good. But anyway, I remember that. Then we become teenagers. We even speed up. We're not even thinking in halves anymore. We think even ahead of that. You ask a teenager how old, I'm going to be 15. Now, she may have turned 14 yesterday, but she's going to be 15, don't you know? And then we become 21, don't we? It's like a rite of passage, like some kind of ceremony. It's so romantic, you know. I've now become 21, and then before you know it, what happens? You turn 30. You're pushing 40, as they say. Then you reach 50 as if it's some goal in a marathon race. You make it to 60. You hit 70. And it's all done. You look back on life and say, wow, what happened? What happened to my dash? Where'd it go? What'd I do with it? Life, as they say, as it says in the credit card commercial, comes at you fast. The years fly by, and they don't wait on us. But we wait to live. We wait to make a difference. We wait to make decisions. We wait to step out. We wait to risk it. We wait to really live the life that God has intended for us. We look at the verses that Jesus says that He's come to give us abundant life, and we're looking forward to that. But we fail to make the decisions today that are going to make that actually happen in our lives. It's available to us, just like it is everybody else. How do they do it and I not do it? Well, they don't live someday. They live today. They live today. We vastly overestimate the power and potential of tomorrow, don't we? Is there ever even going to be a tomorrow? And didn't I just say that tomorrow would be different yesterday? Didn't I just do that? Then why should I do it since it's no different today? Why should I do it again today? Why should I ever bank on tomorrow? We put so much weight upon the tomorrows of our life when they don't even come, possibly. And we vastly overestimate the power and potential of yesterday, too. We get stuck in our regrets, the stuff that we did. Well, yesterday ended at midnight, didn't it? Yesterday shouldn't have a determining factor on who I am today. Okay, I messed totally up yesterday. All right, get up today, Bill, and do what's right. Get up today, Bill, and act in the right way. Get up today, Bill, and assume the position that you have through God's Son, Jesus Christ, and walk in it. Be who you're supposed to be, fully, completely live. We vastly overestimate the yesterdays and the tomorrows, and we vastly underestimate the power and potential of today. The greatest risk in our lives is not risking it, not living, not being who we're supposed to be. That is your greatest risk. That is the thing that you will, if you're going to have regrets, you will regret. Most certainly, most definitely. Again, what if you only had 1 month to live? What would you do? What would change? Who would you be? When is the time to decide that you're going to be that person? Well, it's today. It's right now. When is the time for you to make that decision? It's today. It's not tomorrow. It's not when things get figured out. Because I'm telling you, when God starts speaking to your heart, He is not speaking about tomorrow, and He's certainly not interested in yesterday. He's interested in today. Who are you going to be today? You must decide. What will change? Today is the day to change it. What I want to challenge you to do over this sermon series, over the next 30 days especially, as I preach to you about this subject, is I want to challenge you to ask yourself that question every day. What would I do if I only had 1 month to live? What would I do if I only had 1 month to live? I want to challenge you to do that. I want to challenge you also to become a part of a group following this 30-day sermon series. We're going to be gathering together in Bible study groups on Sunday night to continue the challenge to further drive the message home in our lives so that we can really live. We can really be who we're supposed to be. No regrets. Not dashing to live, but living in the dash. You know, someone accurately said, we aren't really ready to live until we're ready to leave. Are you ready to leave? Where would you go if you died tonight? Where would you go? You say heaven? Are you certain? I'm not altogether certain. I'm telling you, you better be certain. That is one area in which you don't want to have a question because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. So you better get that one settled, because where you go when you leave this life is going to last forever. The forever part of your life ought to be the first thing you take care of. You're not sure where you go, I'm telling you how you can be sure. We just saw that on the screen. The life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Do you have God's Son, Jesus Christ? That's the question you need to answer. Not, well, I think so. Well, I've been a good person. No, no, no. There's no religiosity mixed up in that verse, was there? You either have the Son or you don't have the Son. Deal or no deal? What is it for you? You need to know that. You need to know that, Christian, already knowing that. Again, you're not ready to live until you're ready to leave. If you left tonight, if the dash ended tonight, would you leave with regrets? Would you leave with a lot of I should have, or I would have, or I could have, or I ought to have? Would you? The only way you can keep that from happening, you can't stop from tonight happening. I mean, if it does, there's no way to stop it. It's appointed a man once to die. You're going to make that appointment. You're going to keep it. Once to die and then to face the judgment. But you have power, listen, over right now. Who should you be today? Not someday. Not the someday person that you picture yourself romantically being when you actually take the steps that God would have you be. But who should you be today? That's the decision you need to make this morning. Will you make it? I'm going to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes as we come to a conclusion.